Hi there, I'm Adam, and I'm a stool on stage at the Gag Wagon. It's a comedy club in Des Moines, Iowa. Normally I'm just propping up, you know, a sort of half-drunk whiskey and coke, or a half-drunk comedian. You know, sometimes I look out into the club and I see all these chairs, you know, and people sit on them the entire set, and I think, man, must be nice.
Well, Adam, I imagine over the years you've seen so many comedians come through the Gag Wagon.
The Gag Wagon, yeah, Des Moines, Iowa. They wanted me to mention the name of the club, the Gag Wagon. Free pretzels Wednesday nights.
I've seen a lot. You know, I have a front row seat. I am a front row seat. So I've seen some of the greats, and I've seen a lot of the not so greats. It's a lot of not so greats.
I want to ask about that because you are right there on stage with the comedian. I imagine it feels great when they're killing. What's it feel like when a comedian dies on stage?
Like literally dies?
No.
That's not great. I mean, and that has happened, by the way, at the Gag Wagon.
No. I meant, you know, like comedians die, like their act isn't working. Like when they're...
Yeah, that's weird, you know? But it's funny too, because you got to remember, like, it's not just the comedian that's dying. It's the joke that's dying too, you know? Like when a person dies, we remember them, you know? We have a memorial. We have an open casket and cheese sandwiches. But, you know, when a joke dies, you do your best to forget it. And I think that's sad. I think we should take a moment and recognize those jokes for what they were trying to do.
Yeah, it's true. What if my worth as a person were measured by if 25 people in a room on Saturday night liked me or not?
Yeah, and 25 people who are drunk and who are just there for the free pretzels Wednesdays at the Gag Wagon. I'm sorry, they really want me to push the pretzels.
Sure. What if we had a memorial for a joke that died?
Yeah, you could have all the other jokes that were around that joke come in and say a few nice words.
Well, let's try it. I'm gonna bring up some kind of funereal music, and you were there with mm-hmm. this joke. Maybe mm-hmm. you saw it several times that week. You got to know it. Do you wanna say a few words for this joke that died?
Sure, I'll give it a go. Dearly beloved, we're here to celebrate the memory of the bit about the Kool-Aid Man's travel agent. You know, that bit went out there every night. It tried its best. It was definitely memorable. It definitely got a reaction. Yes, that reaction was often silence, but, you know, any joke can make a person laugh, but it takes a really singular joke to make an entire room of people silent. Was it the funniest joke in the world? No. But was it up there? No. But now it is up there, in heaven, where not even God is laughing.
Can you tell me about your life before the Gag Wagon?
Yeah, well, it was kind of weird. Before I spent a brief period, I was actually a bar stool. I was at this one bar that kept opening and closing. It was like this ill-fated bar. It kept having different literary themes. Like one week it would be called like Chinaski's, you know, named after a Bukowski character. And then the next week, you know, it was like Ayn Rand themed bar. Atlas Chugged, I think it was called. But that, you know, apparently terrible tipping at that bar. So they closed down, and then finally this place ran out of, when by the time it was Kilgore Trout's, It closed down, and then they sold all the fittings, and a guy was opening a comedy club, and he got me as part of a job lot. And yeah, I got chosen somehow to be the stool that they put on stage. I've been here ever since.
Adam, I want to try something. I want to read you the Wikipedia entry for stand-up comedy and just kind of get your reaction to how it's defined.
Okay.
Stand-up comedy is a comedy performance and narrative craft whereby a comedian communicates to a live audience, speaking directly to them through a microphone. Stand-up comedians perform quasi-autobiographical and fictionalized extensions of their offstage selves. Does that seem true to you?
Well, I mean, I noticed one thing missing from that, don't you? Because I'd say there's a pretty glaring omission in that precis, wouldn't you?
Are you suggesting the stool?
Yes, I'm suggesting this. I mean, sure, microphones. I get you. Yeah, sure. You need a microphone. They didn't mention the microphone stand, did they? Because that would really kind of piss me off.
It isn't mentioned.
Okay,
here.
Good. Because the microphone, I don't even know why. What's the first thing a comedian does? Watch the next time a comedian gets on stage. They take the mic stand and they move it to the back of the stage. Get out of here, you skinny three-legged dork. We don't need you with your weird adjustable waistband.
You mentioned that.
By the way, mic stands, I don't trust anything that can change height at will. Like, how insecure are you? Are you 8 feet tall all of a sudden? Sorry, carry on.
I have to say, Adam, it's kind of sounds like you're doing a stand-up bit right now.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, it's I'm a stool, you know. I get up there, I stand on stage, that is my stand. I stand up there and I'm there to support. I mean it's crossed my mind, you know. I'm sure a dresser has thought about what it'd be like to wear a shirt once in a while, you know. You just sometimes in an open mic when you've got half a gallon of PBR slopping all over and you sit through yet another set about video games, you think, I'm funnier than this guy. I've got more life experience than this person. You know, I could probably teach a class in comedy, you know, because I pick up a lot of things, you know, and I know that K sounds are funny. I know the rule of threes. I know the old roommate switcheroo, you know that one?
What's that?
The roommate switcheroo is where your roommate complains to you and then you go, whatever you say, dad. And see, the joke there is that your roommate is actually your father and you still live with your parents, which you're supposed to feel shame about. I mean, I would love to have more time with my parents. My dad was a tree and they cut him down to make furniture.
But those tropes you mentioned, does it get tiring hearing old jokes?
Kind of, but you know, at a certain point, it just becomes sort of background noise, you know? And I also, there's certain things that are tried and true. You know, there's a word that gets thrown around a lot in comedy clubs, which is hack, which, by the way, is a really insensitive thing to say around a piece of wood. But you hear all these things that are supposed to be, you know, like hackneyed or tired. But you got to realize that, you know, way back when, you know, the first guy to tell a mother-in-law joke must have seemed like a genius, you know? People were like, wait a minute, I do have a mother-in-law. And we do have less than a convivial relationship. You know, that guy must have been groundbreaking, you know? So I guess what I'm saying is today's hack was yesterday's pioneer.
Hello.
Hi, is this Drew Griffith? Can I call you Drew?
Please.
So, Drew, you are a classics professor at Queen's University in Canada. You actually have written a textbook about ancient humor, Greek and Roman humor.
I did.
In that context, what is the oldest joke you know?
The oldest joke would be probably around the year one or so. There's a collection of Greek jokes called The Laughter Lover, and it's probably about the 5th century of our era, but the jokes are older. And they're all geared around certain kinds of characters. And the most popular one in the collection is the guy, I call him an egghead. Scholastikos in Greek, and he's a guy who has a lot of book learning, but nothing else. And an example of one of those stories would be an egghead dreamt that he stepped on a nail. So when he woke up in the morning, he put a bandage on his foot, and he goes about his day, meets his buddy, and his buddy says, "What's with a bandage?" And he explains, and the buddy says, "No wonder they call us fools. Why do we sleep barefoot?"
That's not bad.
that's a very old joke.
So this the laughter lover you mentioned, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Philogalos.
So this was a collection of jokes. Was this actually a joke book?
Presumably, as far as we know, yes. Mm-hmm. And as far as we know, they didn't do stand-up. So I don't think this was necessarily a manual, but there are references to people who would kind of make a living by mooching on other people. They would gate crash dinner parties and get their food in that way. And the reason that they were tolerated was for their ability to make people laugh. And there are a couple of references to these people as having books that they would consult for material.
So these early kind of proto stand-up comedians weren't hired to do this job. They would essentially crash parties and tell jokes in order to be allowed to stay and eat the food.
That's right.
What do you think would happen if a comedian today got on stage, you know, and just did material from The Laughter Lover?
I wouldn't recommend it. they're not all terribly good. Some of them relate to very particular social circumstances. So I'll give you an example. There's a category of jokes about hoarders. So that's good. We could probably, you know, grasp that. But there's a joke about a hoarder who goes to a dry cleaner. And here you have to understand that in the ancient world, dry cleaners collected urine and used it as part of the cleaning process. They would bleach the clothes in urine. And so the joke goes that the hoarder went to a dry cleaner's and refused to pee, so he died of septic shock. Now that one, you know, you have to have a whole explanation before that makes even any sense to you. So, I wouldn't recommend The Laughter Lover to any working comedian nowadays.
I'm just imagining the silence after that joke is told on stage.
Yes.
So, Adam, I'm speaking to you in May 2021. The Gagwagon, I imagine, like so many things, has been closed for a while.
Yeah. They try to stay open for a bit. But they took all the precautions. I gotta say that was a little rough because they were wiping me down a lot, and I don't know if you've had 100 proof hand sanitizer applied to your veneer every 5 minutes, but you get kind of loopy on it, you know? But yeah, they tried it for a while, but ultimately they had to shut down for a bit.
How long has it been since you've seen a person?
14 months, I think.
Do you get lonely?
Well, one thing I'm kind of peeved about, something that really kind of chaps my splinters, if I'm being honest about it, is they left me on stage, just kind of sitting here. in the darkness, like some sort of Kafka-esque cabaret. It was just a thin sliver of light coming from under the door, and you see shadows of people walking by, living their lives. And there I am, just sitting, drinkless, noteless. And I never thought I'd say this, but you have some moments where you're like, I could really go for a cheap gag about Tinder right now.
Yeah. Well, how are you passing the time? I imagine among all the other feelings, it's also just, it's just boring.
Well, yeah, I miss the crowds in there, you know, I miss the shows and, sometimes I'll, this is going to sound silly, but sometimes I even imagine that, that the room is full, maybe there's a comedian on stage and, not me, but I might, pretend to do material or whatever, but sometimes I might, imagine, what if I was the only one on stage? What if I was doing just, sometimes there in the darkness, I'll sort of just run through an act just to get the old feelings back of being in the old show business.
Can you, could we hear your set?
Well, I guess I could. I warn you, it's pretty rough. I haven't really done this before, so don't laugh. Laugh. But sure. What the heck? Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Well, great. I can bring in some audio, kind of a laugh track, and I'll bring you on stage. Everyone, please welcome to the stage. Your next stand-up, Adam the Stool, everybody.
Oh, okay. Hey, everybody. You guys are great. Great crowd tonight. A lot of empty seats. My kind of crowd, I just flew in from Iowa, and boy, did they put me in the cargo hold. Apparently, you can't put a seat on a seat. It weirds people out. I don't know. This guy, I kind of feel stupid.
It's good. It's good. Keep going.
It's tough being a stool sometimes, though. Somebody sets a drink on you. You're like, would it kill you to get a coaster? If I wanted a ring, I would have got married. It's actually pretty lonely being a stool. Someone told me to go on a dating app. I like dating the old-fashioned way, furniture catalog, like the browse. I actually went out with a stool from IKEA once. Yeah, her name was Ingeborgen, but she was from IKEA, so I always felt like something was missing. Someone once asked me if I was a bar stool. I said, no, I know who my father was. Although one time my father actually got himself completely restained so I wouldn't recognize him anymore. Yeah, he pulled a real varnishing act. My mother was great, though. My mother was a nightstand. Apparently she was supposed to be a one-night stand, but you know how that goes, right? This guy over here, this guy knows what I'm talking about. I can't believe I'm telling you all this. I used to be very closed off, very stoic, but then I took this product that kind of loosens me up a bit, you might have heard of it, stool softener. All right, that's it for me, everybody. Try the pretzels. The pretzels are free on Wednesday. Thanks very much. I want to give it up to the neon sign. Give it up to the carpet and the mic stand. Oh, not so much. Thanks very much, everybody. Have a great night.
That was incredible. How did that feel?
Oh, I don't know, man. I got to be honest. It felt pretty good,
This is Everything is Alive. I'm Ian Chillog. show is produced by Jennifer Mills and me, with help this week from Emma Choi. Thanks, as always, to Emily Spivak. Adam the Stool was played by Adam Burke. Adam is a comedian and the host of the 5 o'clock Somewhere News on YouTube. A big thanks to Drew Griffith for talking to us about old jokes. Drew Griffith has been a professor of Greek and Latin at Queen's University in Kingston, Canada, for 35 years, 20 of which he's taught a course in ancient humor. He co-authored a study of ancient humor entitled A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Agora. His current project is trying to sneak across the border to visit his new granddaughter in Boston. Part of this episode first appeared as a live performance at the On Air Fest. Thanks both to On Air Fest and the performance space Caveat in New York City for their help. Everything is Alive is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, Julie Shapiro, executive producer. You can get in touch with us any number of ways at everythingisalive.com. It's going to be a little bit, but we'll be back. We'll see you soon.
Radiotopia from PRX.